Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for November 23rd, 2014. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Yesterday was the 51st anniversary of when President Kennedy was assassinated. And it's one of those events where everybody knows where they were when it occurred, and I was a college student at UC Berkeley, and got together for lunch with my girlfriend at that time, Adrian, and class. The shooting occurred in the morning. By the time we heard the news and everything, and I had a early afternoon class I went to, and the professor was there, and he said, oh, of course, we're not going to have class, but I came because some students might not know where to go or what to do in class, you know, just for kind of solidarity. I remember that. And today, well, that's the thing is, that's 51 years ago. It's hard to believe. The Midwest and the Northeast is getting battered by tremendous snowstorms and cold temperatures. Being from Chicago, now in California, I always check the Chicago weather in the weather page in a newspaper. Not to gloat, but just to remember what the local climate was like. And a recent term occurred that I thought was interesting, where you talk about a polar vortex. Never heard that word prior to a few years ago. It seems like they're always introducing terms, weather terms, climate terms, new things. I remember when I was growing up, they never had a wind chill factor, you know, things like that. They never should have started that. After you hear about the wind chill factor, so in Chicago, you know, minus 20, 30 degrees wind chill factor. Whoa! But the term vortex, I remember first hearing it in a different context. When we went on vacation to Sedona, Arizona, which is a particular kind of locale in which, I guess you'd call it spiritual forces are assumed to exist. Now, I don't know the whole exact history of how this developed, and of course, a lot of us would say, oh, that's just a tourist thing that developed to attract tourists. But they talk about vortexes, powerful nature's force in certain areas, whether it's magnetic things, you know, sort of a bit similar to the mystery spot. Yeah, I remember that. There's several places like that with different names when you're traveling in touristy areas and you see the sign, mystery spot, laws of nature do not apply. Things roll uphill and all these kinds of things. And a vortex in Sedona is supposed to be a place where certain natural forces, and you could experience, having a spiritual experience is enhanced or produced because of kind of some kind of forces, whether it's magnetic or what, on a certain spot. Now, polar vortex means that the cold air comes down, and I guess it's in sort of a more narrow pathway. Arctic cold air comes down into the lower 48 there. Be interesting to look up the root word of vortex. But this made me think about the Dharma vortex. What do you think? Dharma vortex, a place where not just a physical spot, but we make the vortex with our attitude. If we have certain priorities and thinking about the Dharma all the time, and we become a certain kind of person that has the power to create a Dharma force. Because if you change yourself, the whole world changes. I saw this sign in my friend's office when I was visiting him up in Seattle on a trip just last weekend. And he had gotten this calligraphy when he was traveling in Japan. He saw it in a temple, and he really liked the saying. When I change, and the whole world changes. And I think this is how a Dharma vortex works in the Buddhist sense, that we're in charge of our own climate. We could put it that way. Our own emotional weather, our life's climate and atmosphere, we have a say in it. Of course, we don't have a say in a lot of things that do happen to us. But how we deal with what happens to us, that's the important thing. You know? That's the important thing. X is not the problem. How I deal with X, that's the important thing in life. Well, that's enough for my rambling. Today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse is Andy Geo. Geo means natural sun. Naturalness is a particular term that my father, the late Reverend Gyome Kubose, really liked that term, naturalness. So it's a spiritual term, not just a secular term of naturalness. Because whatever the opposite of artificiality, superficiality, something deep within life itself gets expressed. Like a spring, that underground spring that bubbles up from the earth, like birds singing. This kind of nature to being expressed in an individual's life. Tapping into that kind of a power, that kind of a vortex, is a great naturalness where things take care of themselves. Do it by itself. Not by ego self, mind you. But a natural self. So Andy Geo's name is Natural Sun. That got inducted in back in 2008. Man, he lives in Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee area, and he is the past president of the Trailblazers organization, which is the resource organization for all the Bright Dawn lay ministers. And let's hear a Dharma glimpse from Andy Geo.
Had an interesting day about a week and a half ago. Despite the surgeon's comments, I had a decades-old lipoma removed from my shoulder. If you must know, a lipoma is a benign tumor composed of adipose tissue, which, again, is just a fancy name for body fat. Well, I called it George, since we had been friends for so long. The doctors had always told me, don't pay any attention to it, but if it grows or gives you trouble, then we'll look at it. A few weeks ago, George got all up and angry, swelling up and hurting. Time to see what made him so cranky. The ultrasound was inconclusive, but I did determine it was a boy. Well, isn't that what ultrasounds are for? To determine the condition and sex of your baby? The nurse and I had fun with that, hence the name George. Hemming and hawing, the surgeon and I decided George might as well go. Never know when that little guy would get angry again. Surgery was a local anesthetic outpatient procedure. Probably 20 minutes of all of us, there was four others, plus myself and the surgeon, laughing and carrying on. There were some ouch moments, as I called them. Surgeon said that they should have used the general anesthetic because he had to go in a lot deeper than he anticipated. Poor George went to pieces under the surgeon's scalpel. He was just too deeply entrenched to give up without a fight. Surgeon also said it wasn't the most interesting surgery he'd ever done, but it sure was the funniest, he laughed. Guess being a disorderly orderly for almost the whole of the 1970s figured in our little surgical comedy. But it was my first ever surgery of any kind. A dear friend of mine wasn't quite so lucky. What was diagnosed by his family doctor as merely another lipoma led to removal of a cancer-ridden muscle in his leg. His prognosis is good. Still, you just don't know. And that don't know leads me to cogitating a bit. I find myself ruminating over that koan I call the great matter, more as the moments, days, and years progress. I always wondered if, as I got older, I'd start to get more agitated about illnesses and the ever-impending doom. Seems the direction of my thoughts lead me to pick up those little bits of stone and rubble I'm finding along the way, rubbing my thumbs on them to get the dirt off, jostling them around in my hand, admiring these little things right by my feet. Oh, death's there, with her long scythe and all. Though her long hooded gown is more fashionable nowadays and not so gothic as she's usually pictured. And we sit down and chat whenever she's in the area, like that day in surgery. We, Death and I, like to keep in touch, knowing there'll be the usual business further on down the road, but it's fine chatting just the same. Sometimes about a funeral or a memorial service I have to officiate, and she gives me pointers now and then. But no, there's just too much to see and pay attention to while these moments pass by under my shoes. Death is only part of the great matter. Life is the other part. Death is a certainty full of unknown answers that are answered only after we die. Life is an uncertainty full of change, possibility, and answers right here and now while we're living. Don't waste your time with death's final walk. Talk to her now and then to get the feel of her business, but don't dwell on something she's really not going to answer until that final moment. Take the time given to you in the here and now of life, in the people and things around you right now. That biopsy of mine, still don't know the results, despite all the assurances of a benign encounter. And my reaction to it is not that agitation I wondered about having earlier. Instead, I find it's a greater intimacy. Koyo-sensei suggested as much to me a few days ago. I think that word works just fine. And yet, in the words of that great philosopher, Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. But still, it's beautiful this time of year. Arigato. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Our health situations, the Buddha said, I don't remember exactly the way it was phrased in terms of the sources of difficulties in life, getting older, ill health, human mortality, inevitable, unavoidable things. And I think this is what started Buddhism. In the sense that Siddhartha Gautama, such a sensitive philosophical person, realized the realities of life. And then he asks, how are we supposed to live when this we see that this is the realities that are coming down the road? You know, lose your loved ones and so forth. Maybe this is what's behind what's called the search for meaning, meaning of life. It's what Thoreau was talking about when he used the phrase, most people lead lives of quiet desperation, you know, existential dilemma, maybe. The reality and the personal reality of death is a very spiritual event, very personal, very intimate. It doesn't raise its head very often. You know, real strong impact. Maybe you wake up in 3 a.m. in a sweat. You had a little bad dream of the abyss, you know. It's everybody's great matter. And in a sense, a Buddhist attitude, I guess, would be to see it in the context of a Buddha or a Bodhisattva in disguise, this having to encounter or confront or visit from a tumor Buddha. I remember was visiting Hawaii, gave some talks there, and the group gave me a gift. Yeah, I had used a stuffed animal puppet in my talk, and so as one of the gifts they gave me was a hand puppet of a roach, cockroach. And in Hawaii, they have these flying roaches. Ooh, they call them B-52s over there. They're big, and there's something maybe in our genes or constitution that, ooh, it's just a scary thing. You get revulsed around these roaches. And so, but I noticed eyes of this stuffed puppet roach. It's sort of sad eyes. And the way I interpreted it was, you know, this roach is part of nature. Aside from personal emotional reactions, I said, well, the roach is just, he has no malice, anything against anybody. He's just living his life, and he just happens to be hated by the whole human race. Sort of like death, maybe, represents something that for people It's dark and ugly and to be avoided at all costs. But his eyes said, gee, how come people all hate, how come people, they all hate me? What did I didn't, it's not my fault, being who I am. Now, even saying this, it doesn't remove one's emotional reaction. And even when we think about all the teachings about Buddha's in disguise and acceptance and making do and going beyond and so forth, just to say that that is natural. We all know this is not a intellectual matter, something to that we have to, you know, understand with our heads. It's something that, and I don't think it's the kind of problem, life problem, that can be solved. Yet, religion to deal with this aspect. Maybe, in fact, that's probably how religions came into existence. How to deal with this fundamental life reality. And one thing for sure, the way that Buddhism approaches it is not as a dualistic situation where life and death are opposite, two opposite things. There's only one natural process of life. But our minds, with our labels, that, oh, life is here, and then the opposite of life is death. Boy, I want this, and I don't want to have anything to do with this other opposite. Say that there's life hyphen death. We have a lot of these kinds of dualistic opposites. Good hyphen bad, success hyphen failure. Sometimes I talked about, well, Buddhism teaches how to live in the hyphen, not to victimize ourselves by getting caught in one of the two extremes on either side, but in that very dynamic interaction of the two. And of course, Buddhism says life and death is part of the same process, and it should be life slash death instead of life hyphen, and understanding the relationship between two opposites. No, it's that as soon as you're born, you start dying. Or Buddhist, little Buddhist humor, perhaps, when ministers talk about they have to fill out a death form when someone dies, and there's a line item that says cause of death. One minister said he feels like putting in there life, or birth, rather, birth. What is the cause of death? Birth. The phrase has been used, my father used it all the time, was, you know, no death as such, separated from life, as a distinct entity per se. Someone suggested when we're talking about, oh, no, instead of hyphen, you should use a slash. Maybe a double exposure. Maybe that's a better metaphor for what we're trying to express here. But again, X is not the problem. Death and human mortality is not the problem. It's always how to live. That's the problem. How to live in the face of it. On one's left shoulder, we could use that kind of expression. Not that we get all obsessed in a bad way with the reality of death. But its awareness sure could put a punch in the potency, perhaps, of living and appreciating one's own life, appreciating what's going on. And I think everybody has to deal with this. A great matter. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going. Eternally, keep going. What does that mean? What is the Buddhist conception of immortality? We know that Buddhism is a so-called non-soul system. Buddhism doesn't ascribe to reincarnation or that kind of afterlife. What does it mean, the reality of keep going in a natural sense? That's certainly a matter to ponder personally. At 3 a.m., you have a very wonderful day. Thank you. Bye.